The big news is that beginning with the 2025 Major League Baseball season, 100.5 ESPN Madison will become Madison's new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Let's go! Let's go!
Obviously, our sister station, 620 WTMJ, the longtime flagship of the Brewers. And now, if you're going to listen to the Brewers in Madison, you're going to listen to us on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Jesse, great job. I assume you were integral in this whole process, and you're the one who made this happen.
They told me it was happening. No, we got it. We're good. This was. I love the Milwaukee Brewers, and I am so happy that we are now going to be the home of the Brewers on 100.5 ESPN, and that every game all season long will be heard right here, crystal clear. So excited to be home to another contender in 2025.
And there's no truth to the rumor that your father, Usher George, is going to come out of retirement to start ushering again at games in honor of this big news.
No truth to that. However, I might be angling to replace Levering.
Okay, well, you know what? Jeff Levering big-timed us today. We thought we were going to have him to help us make this announcement, so we had to go to the bullpen. We had to find someone else. And you know who we found? The reigning NL manager of the year. He was actually our first choice. It is Pat Murphy on Wilde and Tausch. Pat, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I'll be a bullpen for Levering anytime. Levering special. I know where I stand. I'm okay with it.
Well, let me actually tell you where you stand with me, and I've got a bunch of questions for you, but I have admired you from afar. I'm not Todd Rosiak. I don't have to cover you on a daily basis. I cover the Packers, so I drive Matt LaFleur crazy all the time. I'm sure Todd does that to you. But watching you, watching press conferences with the boys, I've been a longtime admirer of yours from afar, and I am curious just what this past season was like, because I don't know if I've ever been happier for someone I don't even know than when you won NL Manager of the Year and the success this team had.
Well, thank you very much for those kind comments. You know, those individual awards are, you know, for the players and things like that, it's great. But, you know, our profession, that kind of stuff just doesn't, it doesn't vibe. You know, you just, it's a nice honor and you accept it. But you realize that, one, there's no way of really measuring who did the, who had the biggest impact. And two, you know, the players make you look good. They hungry players that play with high energy make you look good, and I was blessed to have that this year. Great leadership in the clubhouse, and great baseball staff around me, and you know, great front office ownership supported us at all the right times. And yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled to be part of the Brewers, and that's been a great experience for me. So thanks for the kind comments, and yeah, but those individual awards, the season was great. I just obviously, you don't like the ending the way it is, and the fans sometimes tick me off because they don't realize how tough it is to just get there. Mm-hmm. And then when you lose in a baseball game the way we did, mm-hmm. you know, like the way we lost, I mean, that can happen in baseball. We had totally played well enough to win that series, but, you know, they had the magic in the ninth inning and put the ball in play and hit it where they weren't. And, you know, if Nemo hits that ball right at Terang, game's over, and, you know, we're celebrating on to the next series. So it just, it comes down to an inch or, as you well know, and even in football, you know, it comes down to a fourth and one sometimes. But, yeah, it was a great experience. I enjoyed so many parts of it. But, yeah, you leave a bitter taste in your mouth, and you're never going to forget that one.
Well, Pat, on the flip side of that, then, I do want to know, because I remember seeing a clip, I think Kurt Hogg was the one who posted it, of you at spring training saying, be careful, these guys might believe themselves right into contention. At what point did you know you had that kind of team that could do what it did? And what was the secret sauce for your team to be able to take that young talent and coalesce into what became one of the best stories that we've seen in sports in quite a while?
Well, thanks for saying that. Yeah, I mean, if you knew the characters we had the right mix of characters, and a guy like Yelich stood up and and really led some of the young players. Willie Adames stood up and led young players through thick and thin. You know, you had a guy like Wade Miley on the bench. You had Devin. You know, you had Brandon Woodruff just doing his rehab, but the way he treated others and the way he did his thing. I mean, we just had some great people, Reese Hoskins. We had great older guys, older, they're in their early 30s. That sounds funny. But we had great older guys, and the young kids were just wide-eyed and played hard every day. And it was quite an accomplishment. They just brought it every day. They knew that was the expectation, and they brought it every day. And then the front office provided us. Yeah, we didn't have players anybody knew their names, but they were capable, and we had a lot of depth in the minor leagues. So we were able to piece together 30-some pitchers, 18 different starters, 12 different guys got saves. You know, that's unusual. So, yeah, it was a fun deal. And the league was all trying to win. There was nobody in the league that was rebuilding. And they're all going to be much better this year, and we're going to have an uphill battle, and our work's going to be cut out for us because we lose some great ones, and like we always do, and have to kind of, you know, piece it back together and stir the soup and be ready to compete.
Ooh, a little soup stirring. That soup is not going to have Willie Adames in there, and obviously what he has been able to do for the Brewers was huge, both probably in the clubhouse but on the field. How big of a loss? And I know you said you hope that he ends up getting the money that he was looking for, even though you'd have loved to have had him. How big of a loss is that going to be?
That's huge. I mean, there's no way to say it any differently. It's a huge loss because of who he is. You know, he wanted the attention. He wanted to start him. He wanted to be in the big situation. And but it's how he brought it every day that you know, made the difference for him and his life, and he rubbed off on a lot of people the right way. And so next man up. That's what we do. Next man up.
So, Pat, I don't want to spend a ton of time on hardcore baseball because Rosiak knows I've got a man crush on you. I have some questions that he suggested for me, so I'm stealing them from him. But I want to ask you about this. When you see the contract that Juan Soto gets, it's hard to see that and think back to watching Brad Pitt in Moneyball and thinking we're, you know, organ donors for the rich and everything like that. When you look at that, do you just have to brush it aside and say, hey, that's the world I manage in and I just have to deal with it? Or how do you view that when you see a number like that?
Well, to be honest with you, the way I look at it, and you guys may get a chuckle out of it, I view it as, okay, well, the Mets are spending most of their money there on one player. He's a really good player. We're going to have to pitch to him anyways. So that's good because they spent so much money on him, they probably can't sign too many more. So I look at it as like, okay, he's going to play in the National League. All right, let's plan how we're going to get Soto out. Lindor, one of the best players in the game, and then you got Soto. They suddenly have the Dodger-type lineup. But again, that's all the navigation that goes into it. I don't get into the money. It's the haves and the have-nots. It's getting wider and wider. We see that. I don't get into the politics of it. I'm too old for that. You know, I just need to concentrate on what we have in front of us. You know,
that sounded like Lou Brown in Major League.
Got someone on the other line for some white balls.
You got a little Lou in you. You know what? They call you up to take the job after Council leaves. I got another call about some white wall tires. I'll get back to you.
I like it.
So, Pat, that's where I want to go next, not to Major League the movie, but some of the stuff that maybe our audience that gets a lot of Packers conversation and not as much Brewers conversation gets. And a few things that I didn't know about you, but Can you tell us about your experience with the movie Rudy when you were at Notre Dame? Because Tausch has reenacted the film.
Oh, I didn't know
Rudy
that.
Before. Oh. I know you've told this story before, but if you don't mind playing some of your hits for our audience, I've got a few for you.
All right. Well, Rudy and I knew each other before he made the movie. Because I was a young kid growing up in Syracuse, New York, 8 and 9, 10 years old, and I had the South Bend Tribune delivered to my home every day. 3 days, 4 days delayed, but I just followed Notre Dame sports, and I was a fanatic. And anyways, I studied the football programs too. They'd send me the football program, you know, a week later. And it was an absolute duplicate of the week before with like three pages different. But I would save all the programs, and I studied the roster up, down, and I could tell you every player's name from, you quiz me on 73, that era, you know, in the early 70s and then maybe even before. And I knew number 45 was Dan Rudiger, and I knew Joliet, Illinois, and whatever. So when he was walking around when I first got the job there, I saw him, and I go, "Hey, Dan Rudiger." He goes, "You know me?" Now, he was obscure. No one knew who he was or know that he even played. You wouldn't think he would have played. And I got to know him a little bit. He was selling cars at Coral Dodge in South Bend. And anyways, he then he started talking about making a movie. And he had these VHS tapes that he would show us these interviews, and I would be like, "Bro, you need some help, man. You have to make a movie. What are you talking about?" But he had this idea. And hearing the story of how he made the movie was incredible. And he let me get involved. I got to meet everybody, and they used my office as a little meeting area. So I got to meet all sorts of people, one of which was Al Collins, who infamously, you know, drove the...
You know who I am.
Yeah. So Big Al used to be there every day. He's the football technical director. He would teach the kids that didn't really know football how to kind of look like a football player. And, wow, it was a great experience watching Rudy go through this. It was an ongoing thing for about a year, and I still remain very close with Rudy. I mean, he's one of a kind. They broke the mold, and he's a special guy. He did a lot for himself. He did a lot for Notre Dame. Because they portrayed Notre Dame as such a sacred place. It was wonderful.
Pat, how accurate was that movie? Because Tom Clements is a guy that coached for me, and he was on that team. How accurate, in your assessment, was Rudy the movie?
I mean, the story is true.
Okay.
The story is true. Some of the things, throwing the jerseys down on Devine's guys.
That's not... Oh, I thought that was okay. That's what we recreated.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things that didn't. I love Tommy Clements, number two. You know, I love Pennsylvania kid.
Yeah,
yeah. Love him. Met him many times, and he was there when I was there too. And yeah, he was one of my favorite all times, Tommy Clements.
I will tell him that when we have coach
Rock,
access,
right?
Later this
McKee's
week.
Rock. McKee's Rock, Pennsylvania. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Look at you showing off. I love it.
Well, he read every. Montana, I mean, he had every press guide. Of course, he knows.
Monongahela was Joe Montana. Sorry, he was number three, by the way.
If you're available every Tuesday, let me know, because we would love to do this on a regular basis. All right. So I know you only have so much time because you know you are at the winter meetings, but I have a couple of other. Two other stories I want to get out of you before you go.
Yeah, we finished second on the Soto deal. Tied for second in the Soto deal.
Yeah, a 700 a 700 year contract? Is that what you went with?
No, we finished tied for second. Our offer was
slightly lower. You mentioned Syracuse. You were a boxer? Yeah. Is this true?
I did. I mean, it's how you quantify it. You know, if I go out in the yard and shoot baskets, I'm not a basketball player. I won some amateur fights. I won some amateur tournaments. I continued it past college, and I went on and bought some exhibitions and things like that. I love training for it. Yeah, I was never, you know, I didn't lose much, but... But I wasn't anything great.
So you were like a Rocky Balboa type early in his, before he succeeds?
I mean, people want to, I didn't really fight like that, but I fought in a gym in Syracuse. I trained in a gym, Syracuse Boxing Club, that was run by a guy named Billy Harris, who had all the work release program kids from the local jail. And he didn't have any Caucasian kids in there except me. And there was another gym in Syracuse, Ring 56 or Ring 76, run by Graziano, who, you know, they had Carmen Basilio's group in there.
Right.
And they wanted me to come over there, but I stayed in Billy Harris's gym because I didn't fight the way they wanted me to fight. I was more tactical, so to speak.
Oh, remind me to stay on your good side. All right, last thing, because I know you got to go. Early in my career, I covered minor league baseball, and there is something about that that is a pretty cool thing to be around on a daily basis, so I always cherish that time. But I'm curious about some of your favorite memories, especially from when you were both a player and a manager. Didn't you do both at the same time in the minors?
I did. You want a story? Is that what you want?
I want to. Well,
that's always what he wants, Pat. That's the only thing he just loves stories.
I do.
I'm going to tell you a story that you will question when you hang up. You'll question. You'll look at your partner. You're going to go, nah, that didn't happen. But I'm going to tell you this is true as sitting here.
All right.
Before my first managerial win, 1986 Tri-City Triplets. Before that. We already lost our first game. We went to Spokane to play our second game. We had 14 players on the team. We were called a co-op team where other teams lent us players to fill out the roster so we could have six teams in the league. So as this co-op team, it was looking pretty grim. My pitching coach was Bruce Keeson, a longtime Pirate. God rest his soul. Anyway, we're playing Spokane game two. We're hoping to get some more players. We got about four pitchers. We're losing 9-0 in the ninth with two outs and nobody on. Bruce Keeson already left the building, and I was coaching third and put myself into pitch in about the seventh. Yeah, in the seventh, I put myself into pitch just to save the pitching. I was pitching in turf shoes as a manager. And lo and behold, with two outs and nobody on, we scored 9 runs in the ninth to tie it up. And went on to win the game. I want to say, I think it was 10-1, and we tied it 10-10. Went on to win 14-10 in 12 innings. And I think I pitched the last 5 innings. Got my first managerial win in turf shoes. True story.
And you got the win as the pitcher of record.
Yep, exactly. True story.
Right.
Look it up.
I believe you, and you have done nothing but increase my affinity for you. I need one last favor from you, though, since we're asking all these favors of you. Helped us make the announcement.
What do you got?
So, Craig Counsell, I know, is dear to you. I actually have a few friends who grew up with him. It has been hard for me, and I give Jesse a hard time because he is a diehard Brewers fan, and he was pretty upset with Craig for leaving. When you have the opportunity to tell folks that we're so disappointed or so mad at him for leaving, I'm so glad you had and your team had so much success this year to soften that blow that folks were delivering. But when people ask you, hey, how should I feel about Craig, what do you tell them so Jesse can hear that and change his tune?
For sure. I mean, Craig Counsell, you know, is a legend in Wisconsin sports. I mean, it's the greatest era in Brewer history, the greatest era of consistent success in Brewer history. And Craig was at the forefront of that. And he's a great manager. He's a great person. He loves Wisconsin sports. He was really crushed by this. He knew what was coming, and he's a big boy. He's been through a lot of big things, and he was crushed by what happened. But at the same time, he did what he thought he had to do for himself and for baseball. It helps everybody, you know. And, it was hard to pill to swallow. You can argue left and right about this, that, or the other thing, but he's an icon in my mind in Wisconsin sports and always will be. Will always live in Wisconsin. I mean, he's as diehard as you get, and I think people will forgive him in terms of understanding what was behind it. And he gave us 8 good years, and even more than that when he was in the front office and then as a player. So I think fans will change their tune. He's awesome, man. He is as authentic and true blue. And he was he was debuting, first time coaching. He'd coached fourth grade basketball or something, girls basketball, and then he debuts as a major league manager and you know, knocks it out of the park. So,
and made sure everybody played equal
him,
playing
he
time.
He ended up mentoring me, probably.
But all right, Pat.
I was supposed to mentor him, but he ended up mentoring me a lot more than anyone would know.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and we really appreciate you making time for us for our big announcement. And if the boys ever want to sit on the other side of the press conference instead of up there with you, I could always use help in Matt LaFleur's press conferences. Let them know I'd be happy to bring them along one day to work, and they can ask some questions. Lord knows they'd be better than my questions, and they'd be shorter.
Definitely more concise, yes.
And probably better than Todd's, too, to be honest with you.
No doubt about that, Pat. I'm not going to argue with that, but I can assure you they'll be more concise than what Wildy's doing. I know that for a fact.
Pat, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. Great, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on.